ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also come and go with thee. They went forth and entered into the boat, and that night they took nothing. It is written, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said unto them, children, have ye aught to eat? They answered him, no. It is written, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and ye shall find. It is written, so when they got out upon the land, they see a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Now the servants and the officers were standing there, having made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves. And Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. They said therefore unto him, art thou also one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being a kinsman of him whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did I not see thee in the garden with him? Peter therefore denied again, and straightway the cock crew. We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amidst that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive, they know not what they do. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gazed not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in the upper room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe the angels said, why seek the living with the dead? We walked not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wandering view, then low to earth all prostrate bend. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from God's Word entitled The Two Fires of Coals of the Apostle Peter. In the last days of the life of Jesus on planet Earth, the Apostle Peter had two memorable experiences around two fires of coal. The first fire of coals is when the officers and servants of the high priest had kindled a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they were warming themselves, and Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. We know, of course, how Peter felt. When we follow Jesus, we also want to follow him in comfort. We don't want to be cold. Then, too, the hour of worship must not conflict with any other activity. Serving the Lord must be done at our convenience is the name of the game. While he was standing with them warming himself, he was noticed by others around the fireside. They could not miss him. An apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ right there, standing before a fireside of the worst enemies of the Christ. There are also some places where a Christian can go where one might wonder, whose side is he on anyway? The Scripture says that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and it is also true that the devil knoweth them that are his. Art thou also one of this man's disciples? Sometimes the Christian denies Jesus on the basis of what people around him may think. This is denial of Christ by pretension. Peter was a follower of Jesus, but he pretended not to be. There is a lot of pretense in the church. Some like to be religious, but not too religious. Many would rather be horsewhipped than to have people think they are religious fanatics. No one is ashamed to be called a sports fanatic, but please do not think of them as a fanatic over their faith. The world is being conditioned by evolution and politics that anyone who believes the Bible to be the inspired word of God is rather stupid. That puts us in good company, however, because the same arrogant, supercilious people said the same thing about Peter and John when they said they were unlearned and ignorant men. If people ever suspect that you are a faithful attending services and an avid reader of the Word of God, you may be referred to as a redneck Bible thumper. The Apostle Paul referred to these folk in the first chapter of Romans when he said, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, while they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator." Actually, that's a good term. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest Bible thumper I know. Paul tells us in his sermon on Mars Hill that the Lord has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, forasmuch as he hath given assurance unto all the earth in that he hath raised him from the dead. God the Father has appointed Jesus to join and to judge the human race. Then Jesus, in John chapter 12, tells how he will judge the world. He said, "The word that I spake unto them, the same shall judge them at the last day." On the day of judgment, there is going to be a lot of Bible thumping, and Jesus will do all the thumping. On the day of judgment, the Bible is the book which Jesus will use to judge. What a Bible thumper Jesus will be when he reads the verse that says, "Holy men from of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Then think of the thumping some will get when Jesus reminds the unrepentant that he said in Luke 13:3, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And then consider that two verses later in Luke 13:5, he will thump the unrepentant with the same words, thereby giving them a double thump. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Oh, what a Bible thumper Jesus will be when he reminds the indifferent nominal church member that his word warned them to neglect not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. Then think that what a Bible thumper Jesus will be when he reminds them that Peter on the day of Pentecost did not say, "Bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your heart," but they actually did say, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It is good for the Christian to remember the statement in Hebrews chapter 10, "The Lord shall judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Art thou also one of this man's disciples? Before Peter stood by the first fire of coals, he said, he was ready to go with Jesus both to prison and to death. He said he was ready to die. He thought he was ready. He was sure he was ready. But he wasn't ready. No person is ready to die until they have accepted Jesus Christ on his terms. His terms may be more than having an emotional feeling and bowing your head and saying, "Lord, save me." Jesus told Peter before the cock crow twice, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." At the moment of the second crow, Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and he went out and wept bitterly. Tradition tells us that every time Peter heard the rooster crow after that, he wept again. I can't vouch for that tradition, but it's easy to believe. It is true for many of us. Many times I have heard the rooster crow, and I think if you listen, you may hear it too. When he went out from the crowd that night, that was the first step in his return to the Lord. He went out from the fireside of the enemy, and that could be your first step also. Get away from the crowd you're in. Get away from the enemies of the Lord and His church. The Scripture tells us, "Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate." You cannot draw near to Jesus in that crowd any more than Peter could. Now the second fire of coals was after the resurrection. Seven of the disciples, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John, and two others whose names are not mentioned, have gone fishing. They fished all night and took nothing. At daybreak, Jesus appeared on the beach, yet they knew not it was the Lord. Jesus called to them and said, "Do you have any meat?" They answered him, "No." Ladies and gentlemen, when you attend services, do you get any meat? Did you observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the Son of God who suffered and died for our sins? No, but we did get some coffee and donuts. Did you hear anything about "it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment"? No, but we did hear some inspirational stories that made us feel real good. Did you hear how Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me"? No, that's a negative approach to the gospel. It makes the person feel bad. You must win them first before you make them feel bad. And besides, that approach makes them feel worse when they leave than when they came in, and they may never come back again. Did you get any of the sincere milk of the word? No. What in the world is that anyway? Jesus told them to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and they would find. They did, and drew up a great multitude of fishes. John's reaction to this as he took a closer look was, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard it was the Lord, he girded his cloak about him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea and swam ashore. Peter had evidently stripped himself to the waist, showing only his undergarments. I will not say anything here about proper attire and modesty in church services, whether men or women. It would make you only a little resentful, but I will merely point out as an example how modestly dressed the Apostle Peter wanted to be when he appeared before the presence of the risen Lord. He wrapped his cloak about him before he swam ashore. When the other disciples came to shore, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus told Peter to bring up the fish which they had taken, and he drew the net to land. They did not count the fish until they came ashore. Not until they came to land did they count 153. Many a fish that we think is a convert is numbered among those that Jesus talked about when he said, "They will gather out of the net all the bad fish and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord knoweth them that are His. The final tally of a tent of additions and real church growth will be made known when we stand on the shore of that sea, mingled with glass like as a fire. Not until then will we know the true estimate of our labor in fishing for men. After this, John tells us that Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. He remembered how he had denied the Lord three times at the other fireside of coals. Now Jesus asked him three times if he loves him at this fireside of coals. It almost seems as if Peter is given a chance to start all over again and do it right this time. There are a lot of times when I wish I could go back and live certain events all over again and do it right. Backward, turn backward, O time in thy flight. Make me a child again, just for tonight. In Christ, those words find fulfillment for the Christian. We do have the right, by repentance, to go back every day and start all over again. Now this question, "Do you love me?" was a needed question. It was needed in spite of the zeal of Peter. Had he not jumped overboard and swum ashore? Had he not brought the net to shore all by himself? All of this notwithstanding, the question was needed, "Peter, do you love me?" Yes, I work in the parking lot, drive the church bus, I teach the class, I'm always present, I preach the sermons. I know all that, but the question is needed, do you love the Lord? It was needed in spite of Peter's great learning. He had been with Jesus for over 3 years, 16 hours a day wide awake, at least most of the time. Allowing for 8 hours sleep, the amount of hours would be the same as a person who goes through grade school, high school, and college. Plus the fact that they studied under the greatest teacher and studied such courses as theology, baptismology, churchology, heavenology, hellology. But in spite of all his learning, or ours, we need to answer the question, do you love the Lord? Now that Peter has said that he loves the Lord, 3 times, the Lord puts him to the test. He tells Peter to do 2 things, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. This responsibility was not for Peter alone. In his first epistle, Peter lays the same responsibility on all the elders of the church when he says, the elders among you I exhort, who am also a fellow elder and a partaker of the suffering of Christ, who also am a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Tend the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, according to the will of God, nor yet for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as lording it over the flock allotted to you, but making yourselves examples unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. After this, Jesus told Peter, while he was young, he girded himself, and walketh wherever thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. Peter had said, when he stood at the first fireside of coals, that he would lay down his life for Jesus. The Lord told him he would deny him 3 times before the cock crowed twice. Now after this event, by the second fire of coals, the Lord tells him he will get his wish. The Lord gives him his desire back again. You are willing to lay your life down for me, Peter. All right. You'll get your wish. You will stretch forth your hands. Another will gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. Peter would be given the opportunity to die on the cross. Now when the time comes, he would rather not do it. Human nature rebels against such a sacrifice. Thou wouldest not. There were a lot of things that happened to Peter along the way to the cross where he would say that he wouldest not. The first time he wouldest not was in Acts 4, when he and John were put in jail and called unlearned and ignorant men. Certainly in Acts 5, he wouldest not, when he and all the apostles were beaten and threatened never to preach or teach again. Then again, his most definitely wouldest not when he was jailed after the beheading of his friend, the apostle James. There are a lot of things that the Christian who profess that they love the Lord are asked to do that they wouldest not. And most Christians don't do what they wouldest not. It is also true for us. No matter what kind of death we may experience, it is always true, I wouldest not. As a Christian, you look forward to going to heaven. But if the Lord says you can have your wish when you die of a heart attack, at that time you will say, I wouldest not. You as a Christian want to go to heaven when you die. So you get a terminal cancer. Do you rejoice at the prospect of going to heaven? Or do you say, Lord, I wouldest not? Your nature rebels against death in any form. So you call every church you can think of and get them to pray for your recovery because I wouldest not. A woman who had terminal cancer one time told me that she did not want to die because of Cecil and the children. And then after a pause added, but that is not really the reason. The real reason I am not ready to leave this world is because I just don't want to die. What she meant was, I wouldest not. Then she expanded more on the thought when she said, We all want to go to heaven, but none of us want to die to go there. Whatever the way death comes, I wouldest not. I asked one lady if she was ready to die, and she said, Yes, but I'm in no hurry. I wouldest not. Heard of a teacher in Sunday school who asked the class if they wanted to go to heaven, and every child in the class raised its hand except one. The teacher said, Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? The kid said, Yes, I want to go when I die. But I thought you were getting up a load to go right now. I wouldest not. Seeing that this day will come when I wouldest not, what shall we do until then? The answer of Jesus is, Follow thou me. Peter, by this promise, would be given and be able to live the rest of his life like Jesus, under the shadow of the cross. He knew that from now on, sometime later, he would die on the cross. The cross was always there every day of his life. Always the cross was on his mind. Tradition says he was crucified upside down, not feeling worthy to die in an upright position as the Lord. Had Peter known the song, he could have sung, The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Finally, how about the question Peter asked about John? Jesus said to Peter, Follow thou me. As he walked apart from the group, Peter saw John following and turned to Jesus and said, Lord, what shall this man do? Peter seems to say, Lord, will John also stretch forth his hand and be carried where he wouldest not? Jesus says, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Don't be concerned, Peter, what others do. Peter, you follow thou me. Many like Peter want to ask speculative questions. Lord, what about the heathen who have never heard the gospel? Will they go to heaven? The answer to that is, What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Lord, what about my parents? They were never immersed for the remission of sins. Will they go to hell? The answer again is, What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Forget all about the questions. That's the Lord's business. He said, Follow thou me. Peter would later remember these words of the Lord when he said in his second epistle, The putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly, even as the Lord Jesus signified unto me. In his first epistle, he reminds us that Jesus gives us the invitation that we should follow in his steps. Jesus says to us as well as to Peter, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There are enough crosses to go around for everyone who would respond to the gospel invitation, Follow thou me. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The God is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you week by week and month after month and year after year with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. And now, until next week at this same time, don't forget, tell someone, somehow, and in some way that as far as the Christian is concerned, God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer away.